good to be with you this evening. I'm blessed by those I see around me. We appreciate your presence, and
we obviously invite you back every opportunity you have to worship with us. It's been my honor to present a lesson to you this evening. I appreciate the elders asking me to step in Doug's absence. How many of us have
set goals and objectives, things we want to accomplish in our lives, professionally, personally, our families, things that are important to us? We set those goals and objectives, and we develop a plan to meet those goals and objectives. We think of everything we possibly can that may come about that can deter us from making that objective or reaching that goal. And then we start, get on that path towards that objective. And then things happen. Things we didn't plan for. Things that we didn't know would happen. Or maybe some things that we knew would happen, but it was much more worse than we ever thought. What do we do? Do we quit? Do we take the easy way out? It's just too hard. I guess that wasn't the goal I was meant to accomplish. Or do we keep going? Do we persevere? We talked about a little bit that in our adult Bible study this morning. People in the Bible that persevered, that kept going. Perseverance. I think that's key to us all achieving our goals. But what about the most important goal? Being in heaven, reaching heaven, spending eternity with God. The most important goal we have. What about that? We're going to have obstacles in our daily walks with Christ. Do we give up? Do we take the easy way out? Do we do the things that people are doing around us? Or do we persevere going towards that goal? The Bible tells us in Matthew 24 and verse 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." In Revelation 2 and verse 10, we read, "Do not fear any of those things that which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Galatians 6 and verse 9. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Keep persevering. We can read about many people who in the Bible who persevered, who were presented with many obstacles, maybe some that would seem insurmountable, but yet they kept going. We read about Moses. He was steady. He had constant leadership all through his trials. Moses didn't quit. Some were upset with his leadership. Exodus 5 and verse 21, starting in verse 20. "When they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron, and as they were waiting for them, they said to them, 'May the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to kill us.'" There were many that fought back against his leadership. They wanted to return to Egypt. In Exodus 14, in verse 11, "Then they said to Moses, 'It is because there is no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt us with this in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians?'" People around him were jealous of him. Aaron and Miriam. In Numbers 12, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?' They were envious. But Moses kept going. Even in the face of Korah's rebellion, in Numbers 16, Verse 1. Now Korah the son of Izra, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eleb, and on the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took action. And they rose up before Moses, taking with some of him sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron. And they said to them, "You have gone far enough. For all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" Even through all that, and the people went back to idols. Exodus 32, starting in chapter 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. And as for this Moses, the man who brought us from the land of Egypt, we do not know what he has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool and made it to a molten calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." So the next day they rose early, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose to play. Through all that, Moses, an example to us, kept going in the face of all that adversity, because he knew the goal that he wanted to accomplish. Read about Peter. Peter didn't quit. He had his moments. He wavered when he sank into the sea. In Matthew 14 and verse 28, and Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he took hold of him, and he said to him, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" Peter denied Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and the servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." Peter denied Jesus, but he didn't quit. He was beaten and jailed. In Acts 4, verse 1. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. In Acts 5 and verse 40, they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer the shame of for his name. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus the Christ. Peter kept going. He watched his close friends were executed. He was under the same sentence of death himself. In Acts 12, starting in verse 1, "Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some of the belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he said, James, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayed for him But prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Through it all, Peter kept going. In 1 Peter 5, in verse 8 through 10, "Be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Peter overcame his obstacles and kept going. Paul didn't quit. Paul was stoned and left for dead. In Acts 14, verses 19, "But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city." He was beaten and jailed in Philippi. Acts 16 and verse 22, we read, "The crowds rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them in the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Paul was persecuted repeatedly. Acts 17, starting in verse 1. "Now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and according to Paul's custom, he went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar and attacking the house of Jason, and they were seeking to bring them out into the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, 'These men have upset the world, having come here also. And Jason has welcomed them. And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus.' They stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received the pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see where these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds." Preaching the word of Jesus, but he was persecuted repeatedly. He suffered beyond comprehension. 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 24. "Five times I received the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from the countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Can't imagine suffering what Paul suffered. But he kept going. He had a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. To keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well contented with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He never gave up. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What an example. I can't imagine going through what he did. But he accomplished his goal. John Mark didn't quit. Oh, he did turn back in Pamphylia, and Paul lost confidence in him. Acts 15 and verse 36, we read, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with him also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, he who had deserted them in Pamphylia. And he had not gone with them to the work. But he did go with Barnabas. In verse 39, and they occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Eventually, he gained back that respect from Paul. 1 Timothy verse 9, chapter 9, verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9, excuse me. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you. For he is useful for me for service. He reconciled himself. He was a help to Peter in Babylon. 1 Peter 5, 13. She who is in Babylon, choose together with you, send your greetings, and so does my son, Mark. He didn't quit. What if Jesus quit? What if Jesus gave up? Where would we be today? He was despised. He was rejected. His own countrymen. John 1 in verse 11. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. He was rejected by his own townspeople. Mark 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense to him. He was even rejected by his own family. John 7, verse 3. Therefore his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers were believing in him. His hand-picked disciples, in some cases, even rejected him on occasion. John 6, starting in verse 64. "But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, 'For this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father.' As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." Some of his closest followers rejected him. Matthew 26, starting in 55. "At that time, Jesus said to the crowds, 'Have you come out with the swords and clubs to arrest me, as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching you, and you did not seize me. But all of this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets.' Then all the disciples left and fled." Jesus was beaten. He was crucified. But he knew he had a goal to accomplish. And no matter what, he was going to accomplish that goal. And praise God that he did. Some did quit. Demas quit. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Paul writes to Timothy, "Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Judas quit. Matthew 26 and 14. "Then one of the 12 named Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give to betray him to you?' And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. For then on he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus." Going down into verse 49, "Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Rabbi,' and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, 'Friend, do what you have to come for.' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him." Many of his disciples quit. We read in John 6, "For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted for him to the Father. As a result, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." What does the Lord think about quitters? What does the Bible tell us? In Luke 9, verse 62, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" This world is tough. It's sometimes tough being a Christian. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian of 30, 40, 50 years experience, or you're a Christian of only a few years experience. We all have the same challenges facing us every day. How do we choose to take on those challenges, overcome those obstacles? Do we quit and we miss that goal? We miss that objective of heaven? Or do we persevere? Do we keep going? Never, ever quit. How can we do that? How can we not quit? What are some things we can do? We learn the scriptures. We have the knowledge to handle adversity. We learn God's word, how He would have us act, how He would have us approach those challenges on a day-to-day basis. We surround ourselves with people who share the same goals. If I'm going to accomplish a goal, I want to have people in my corner. I want people to support me who think the same things I think. I don't want to be with people who work contrary to the things that I want to accomplish. What about our young folks? We can be a mentor to the next generation to better equip them to handle adversity. We can pass that knowledge on to them. We can help them. So maybe they can have a little bit of an ease, not quite as difficult as maybe the ones that came before us. Sometimes don't be afraid to ask for help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. We all fall, we all stumble. Sometimes we need that support. We need to go ask for that assistance sometimes. There's no shame in that. Ultimately, we have to live faithfully in Christ. We have to follow His commandments. We have to do the things He's asked us to do. We have to be strong. We have to be steadfast. We have to have the courage to go out every single day. And we do fail. We will fail. We've all failed. We may continue to do so. But we don't quit. I hope so. I hope you don't quit. I hope I don't quit. I hope I continue that fight, pressing on towards the goal. Never, ever give up. We may not face the same trials and tribulations as the people of the first century. I pray that we don't. I pray that we don't have persecution. I pray that we don't live in fear of our worship. I pray those things never come to pass, but you just never know. We need that strength to keep going. I hope the lesson has been somewhat of an encouragement. I know every time I prepare a lesson, it's always a little bit of a inward reflection about things that I want to express, not only to you, but myself sometimes, because it is difficult. And I know that things will continue to be difficult, but with all of our helps, we can get through things, support one another, and look to the Bible for guidance and knowledge and strength. If for some reason that you are a Christian and you have since fallen away, now is the perfect time to come back. We have everything ready for you. If you haven't decided to follow or meet that, seek that goal of heaven, now's the time. Now's the time to choose. Choose that to be your goal, your objective. Set on that path. And we can accomplish many things in this world as individuals, as teams. But the biggest, most important goal is to have an eternal home in heaven, to live with Him in peace, rather than torment through all eternity. If you have a need in either way, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.